O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A man named Jesus opened my eyes. That was the confession of the blind beggar. That's been my confession too for the last week or so. A man named Jesus has opened up my eyes. I feel like the coronavirus and all of its implications has very much opened my eyes to all sorts of things. Like, I used to think that touch screens were a great invention, and now when I go into stores, I look at them with nothing but horror and fear, and I wonder, why did we ever allow ourselves to have so many common germs all the time? Again, my eyes have been opened. My eyes have also been opened to those who are on the margins of our society. This year, we had intended to do a Lenten series on listening that has been slightly interrupted by world events. And this week, we were supposed to focus with this gospel passage on listening to the ignored. I still think, though, that's a pretty relevant theme, something that I think we should wrestle with a bit. The man in the story is clearly ignored by everyone. After he is healed, they don't even fully recognize him, and they have a debate. Was that really him? It looks like him. Clearly, no one really engaged him. It's also interesting that he doesn't get a name. He's just, even after his healing, he's simply the blind beggar. Even though he can see now, he's still called the blind beggar. Again, he's more or less ignored. I think the last few weeks have really opened up my eyes to people who otherwise I probably could have ignored. I probably could have not been fully aware of their situation. One summer, I worked as a chaplain, an intern chaplain at a nursing home, and it was very clear to me who was visited and who was not. Those who received contact from family and friends were so much more cheerful and better situated. But to be honest, I go many days and I don't necessarily think about all the people who are in nursing homes, in care facilities. But now in these days, wow, the isolation that so many are experiencing it's overwhelming to me. Can no longer ignore. My eyes have been opened to their plight. Last week, a friend of mine named Tim and I, he's another pastor in the area, and we went out to lunch, and we typically go to the same place around the same time, once every couple of weeks, and we often have the same waitress. And last week, we were having lunch when we learned that the NCAA tournament was canceled, and we said, wow, you know, this waitress that we know is going to lose a lot of tips. And so we decided to be generous that day. Little did we know that would be pennies on the dollar of what this person would likely and has likely and again will likely lose. I came to recognize that I don't even know this person's name, even though for probably 2 to 3 years, once a month, she's been kindly bringing us food, almost the same food every time. And probably that whole entire time, she's been sort of living paycheck to paycheck, but that thought never occurred to me. Again, it was easy enough to ignore. I think humbly I offer that my eyes have been opened to the plight and the situation of so many. I suspect it's been the same for you. As my eyes have been open to others around me, I've also become acutely aware of how much people are grieving right now. It's been really hard. Every time I feel like I begin to recalibrate and to adjust to the latest news, well, gotta change again. Been a lot of hard internal conversations and with others and prayers. This week, having to talk to my parents about I don't think it's really a good idea, Mom and Dad, for our kids to see you for a while now. Mortality's too high for your age group. It's not a really easy conversation. And I think wherever we go, wherever we've turned in the last couple weeks, we've encountered lots of grief. I just had two men, in fact, let me know after this morning service that they were brought to tears by the morning worship and just the reality that we can't worship together in the same place, yet this powerful sense of somehow being together. So again, there's lots of grief, and I'm also noticing that grief is turning as part of the grief into anger, and now there's the blame game. The disciples ask, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his father, that he might be born blind? And I feel like now what I'm hearing is, who sinned, the Chinese government or the American government, that we would be in the situation that we're in? Again, the blame game has come out, and it's in so many ways just a grief response to what we're all experiencing. Yet Jesus turns away from the sin and the judgment. And Jesus says that this person was born blind that God's work, God's light might be revealed. I think at times like these as Christians, we humbly pray that God would open up our eyes to the goodness, that we might prayerfully discern God's work and God's light even in this valley of the shadow of death. This doesn't mean that as Christians we ignore the suffering or the grief or the pain. No, not at all. In fact, even in the 23rd Psalm, it's the table that's prepared is in the presence of enemies. And the rod and the staff, they comfort us in the valley of the shadow of death. So we're not called to ignore. At some level, we do have to do an analysis of how this situation happened to fix blame so that maybe we can come up with a solution that this doesn't happen as badly or that we can slow down what's happening. So I don't want to say that as Christians we get to ignore or not have to do hard analysis of what's going on in this world. But I think that we pray and we hope that the Lord would open up our eyes in the midst of all of this, that we might be able to see and to sense God's work. I know that in my own life, again, the way in which God is opening my eyes up to the plight of those around me and their situations, becoming so much more aware of my neighbor and the vulnerabilities my neighbor faces, I believe that this, and again, I would humbly confess that this is the work of God in this time. I also believe that the brave and courageous work of people who are going to treat and to be nurses and doctors in times like this, or just everybody who's carrying on and doing their work in all sorts of places, grocery stores and so forth, I see so much courage, so much willing to love and to care for the neighbor. I've seen it in our congregation where so many people have stepped up, willing to give of their time and their treasure and their talent to help others, to make a connection. Above all, I sense a profound degree of community, of not just asking for ourselves. Oh, there's plenty of this, yes. But I do sense a profound sense of togetherness. So yeah, I'm a sensitive and I'm aware and I'm grieving what's going on. But I've also been praying and even rejoicing that God is at work in my, and I also believe in your life, opening up our eyes that we might see what's going on and have our, not just our judgment, but our compassion, the horizons of our compassion expanded, and that we might see God's goodness in all of this somehow. So just think about that sort of almost double vision that God gives us, where we see the world the way it is and we acknowledge it in its brokenness, but also to see a spiritual reality. And that, I want to bring that home with the waters of baptism. And so my mic is really up, so maybe you can even hear the waters there. And I think about all the ways in which I'm called now, forced, compelled, challenged, told to wash my hands. And like everyone else, I do this because I see what's going on in the world, and I want to be smart. I want to protect myself and protect others around me, and so I wash my hands because I'm in the world. But the light of the world, Jesus Christ, is also in this world, and Jesus opens up our eyes to see something else. And so as I've been looking at my hand washing again, I've been seeing the waters of baptism. Jesus sends this man into the pool of Siloam to be healed. Likewise, Jesus has sent us into the waters of baptism to be healed and to open up our eyes. And so I'm seeking to turn even the washing of my hands into a spiritual discipline where I thank God for opening up my eyes to the plight of others, even if their situation gives me grief and can overwhelm me. I also pray that the Lord would open my eyes and let me see what no news report can possibly tell me. And that is that God has claimed me and claimed you as a child of God. And then in the waters of baptism, we hear and learn how God sees us as a beloved child, one for whom he gave his son to die and to rise. A man named Jesus opened my eyes, was the confession of the blind man. I hope and I pray that throughout these next couple weeks, we will be able to say again and again, a man named Jesus opened my eyes. Amen.